on the Mask of Inanna.
We want you to maintain a lighthouse.
And you want an old guy with nothing better to do.
No, Mr. Allen. We want you. There's a speed bump that's hard to see without the light.
Are they trying to kill someone?
Just scare visitors.
Len, it has very rudimentary senses. It was curious about you and couldn't help itself.
Looking for something in particular?
The cellar.
What do you know about the cellar?
I assume there is one. So there is a cellar.
No, we've been to the entrance of the cellar. We've been watching you. It's here and in your dream state.
You mean the places with the wind chimes? The extra floors?
Yes.
The lily room?
What about the things in the lighthouse? With the feathers and claws?
We'd have to stop meeting like this.
Have you seen anyone else my age here? I don't know what it's like to live on the outside. I mean, I do. I can go out there and date people, but I can't go into any of their stores or eat their food.
I love limes, hard as liquor.
It's all the great machine out there.
The great machine.
Mass production.
It itches terrible. And the worms.
And Inanna only helps us if we don't mix with it.
More protection. More protection.
If I want something, I have to buy it from a local computer shop, or importer, or farmer's market.
Oh, I'm at the island's grocer's. Can I pick you up anything? We make it all ourselves.
Don't get me wrong. It can be really worth it. We help Inanna. She helps us.
Inanna won't heal the sick, part the waves, or make your dead father a Lazarus.
People who want to be writers don't get writer's block.
I shot better than they did. I never slept on my watch.
When I'm sewing, it's like incredible. I could make a living with it. Everyone makes their living off something around here.
I'm a bookseller. I specialize in camp culture. I sell mostly to coffee houses and internet cafes.
It's just a royal pain to find people who get it, you know?
I know. It sounds like an old person's dream and a kid's nightmare.
The Mask of Inanna.
Hold up, Don.
Yeah?
Are you hurt?
I'll be fine. What's going on?
I don't know. It started acting funny a few hours ago. It usually calms down faster than this.
It's tearing up my car!
I can't stop it. I tried talking to it. I fed it. I drew it some pictures. I even started praying for it.
I can call the Tier 4 office and get a nuke.
We want to calm it down. Take my car home. I'll have the tunnel cordoned off until we know what's happening.
An attack?
No, not if someone's trying to get on the island. It's mad about something, and it won't tell me what.
My laptop's in the car. If you can get it, I'll salvage what I can.
Fine. Go. Have Scotty look after you.
Oh, thanks. I should be fine, though.
If it's not calm by morning, we'll warn the usual people, and we'll call an emergency committee. Go!
Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen?
I'm in here. What's wrong?
You didn't answer your phone.
I let the voicemail take it.
You don't have voicemail.
Huh. That's why no one leaves any messages.
You can't go in the tunnel.
I wasn't planning to.
No one can. The speed bump's gone crazy. It trashed my dad's car. It won't let anyone get near it.
Well, what's happened?
They don't know.
It might be those mammons.
No, they would have been spotted. It was being weird last night, but it should have calmed down by now.
So this is bad?
Very bad.
Very, very bad.
The church might be exposed.
Well, how are you holding up?
What do you mean?
Well, since the mammons broke in here, I know it's been a few days.
Oh, okay, I guess. I'm busy.
Good, good.
You should see the tunnel. They've blocked it off with construction signs and everything.
How worried should I be?
They're trying not to make a big deal out of it, so I'm not sure.
So you don't know?
Nope.
What will your people do if it doesn't calm down?
I have an idea that might work. I don't know. Can I borrow the lighthouse balcony?
What are you going to do there?
Just some reading.
Oh, you don't have to ask for that.
Thanks. I might go out to catch the ferry later.
Well, I didn't know the island had one.
It doesn't come often.
And the speed bump won't attack it?
The speed bump won't leave the tunnel. Mr. Lewis said he's tried everything. He faked some mammons outside the tunnel, and it still won't go after them.
Oh, could you let Orson and Mr. Obler out? I'm sorting through the old maritime records.
Sure.
They've been in and out all yesterday.
I'm grabbing something from the shed. Then I'll be upstairs. If there's a phone call...
I'll get it.
Great. See you.
Where was I? Right. August 1870. Schooner. Pleasant day. Pleasure craft. God, these men must have been bored. Oh, no wonder they locked these things up. What's happening? Am I awake? Scotty!
Wide, super, super history!
I know you.
She's going to be very mad, you know. The warrior says she's the shoe that crushes its owner's foot. That's you.
Does he?
You must know. So, so know much. Why?
I don't follow you.
Your enemies are wandering. But see, they have returned.
Who's my enemy? Bob?
Not Bob. Not Bob. Much, much worse. Want her to be mad.
Who?
The book tells half the story. The whole you must see. Before they can stop me.
Stop me from seeing what?
Face him and know. Know as others can't.
Know what? Why is it getting dark in here? A straight answer would be nice. Not you. Do we have to do this again? I don't want to be here any more than you. Get back! Back!
Oh, pardon me. My humblest apologies, sir. Allow me to help you up.
Thank you. What's happening? Where is this?
Forgive me. You must have hit your head, sir. Here, have a nip of this. Don't let the patients know.
Oh, thank you. Patients?
This is St. Mary's Hospital for the Poor. Yonkers, not the one they have upstate. Are you looking for someone?
No. Are you the doctor?
They call me that here, but I'm still a few years from the title. But someday... Oh, Mrs. Cavendish, don't unwrap that. I've warned you.
It itches terrible. And the worms.
It'll weep a month longer if you keep at it as you are. Ask your son to bring a few bottles the next time he's over. I'll warn the matron to overlook them.
Oh, bless you, sir.
You'll excuse me. Sir, are you all right?
I'm sorry. I've just never seen injuries like these.
You're from uptown? You'll grow accustomed to it. Mrs. Cavendish's severed arm is hardly the worst. It's her own fault for being here, her foreman says. We get a dozen of them every month from the factories.
Mr. Adams.
Ah, Mr. Carney. You had no trouble finding your way.
A little. And I'd appreciate your company when I leave the neighborhood.
You'll have it. You'll pardon me a minute, Mr...
Allen.
A pleasure, Mr. Allen, a pleasure. Now, Mr. Carney, your man's in the fourth bed there, passed out.
Sweet Jesus.
I wouldn't get too close. Can you explain what a fine Pinkerton man like him would be doing in a hospital such as this? Seeing as how you wish to join the force yourself, sir.
I can't.
He's in bad shape. He won't last long here with that gut wound. He's only been on the force 3 years.
They said he had the best of care when I asked them.
They must like you, eh? To lie to you? Come on. There's plenty of private jobs for a trusted, sensible hired man who rarely tires. With the attention of a hawk and the speed of a jackal, you'll get farther than any of these poor souls in the machine. The Blessed Maiden will see to that.
Excuse me? Sir, I don't mean to interrupt. Are you speaking of Inanna?
Keep your voice lower, sir. What do you know of her?
She has a very resilient church.
That she does. I haven't seen you at any meetings, though.
I've heard bits and rumors through friends. I'm an entertainer, a teller of stories.
Oh, an entertainer. You should have said why you came today. You're here for the newcomer service?
Yes.
You'll need someone to vouch for you. But you seem an honest sort. Oh, where are my manners? This gentleman is also here for the newcomer service.
Alexis Carney, Mr. Allen. Good to meet you.
How do you do?
Perhaps we should be going. Follow me. It's not far. A moment. I always stopped for a bite. Excuse me, ma'am. I'll have 3 of the limes. I love limes. Hard as liquor.
I'm sure. Ah, a newspaper. August 10th, 1870.
That's yesterday's.
Heavens, I forgot to warn the matron. Wait here.
Are you expecting something in the paper?
Well, that's where the news is, isn't it?
Not all of it, though.
Is there something I should know?
Who sent you here?
Mr. David Lewis, I think.
I've never heard of him.
He's a friend of the Inanna folk.
Ah. What's he told you?
That it's a church of passionate people who do passionate things, like selling curios to restaurants or seamstressing. I know a girl who can make dresses like you've never seen.
I'm sure. And you hope to entertain the masses with your wit.
That's right. As you hope to be a security man, correct?
Yes. They may have given you a false impression of what to expect.
I don't believe so.
Mr. Adams' passion is his medicine. But he plies his trade with the unwed mothers of the uptown families to pay for the work he does here.
If you don't believe in Inanna, why are you here?
To see if Adams is the rule or the exception.
Well, we'll see tonight.
You are certain to go?
Oh, definitely.
Mr. Adams is too kind to admit it, but the service should be standing room only tonight. Perhaps another night.
I have nothing else planned tonight.
Really, I insist. You will have plenty of other opportunities.
I rather doubt it.
That's sorted out. Are you ready?
I am.
I am.
Excellent. Gentlemen, this way. Sorry about the pat-down, gentlemen. And the questioning on your part, Mr. Allen.
I understand.
I wasn't worried.
From Mr. Carney's description, I thought there'd be more people tonight.
They are coming. Well, welcome to the Temple of Inanna, built by our architects to ancient plans found in Sumeria herself, hidden, as you have seen, in a common warehouse on the docks. See on the altar before us the sealed reliquary. Our founder has placed within it our most sacred artifact, which she acquired from the Holy Lands, the Mask of Inanna. It was revealed through visions from Inanna herself.
Will we see it during the service?
Not tonight, I'm afraid. Our founder should be arriving soon. You can take up the matter with her. Ah, Myrtle.
Hot tea for you, sirs.
Thank you.
A better brew you won't find, and yet its leaves are from the same shop you go to, sirs.
Thank you. Oh, my.
Never had the like.
And you won't, sirs, unless you've slaved over a kettle as I have.
I'm sure. What will we be expected to do at the service tonight?
Listen only. Now that we're gathered, friends, welcome, one and all. You've been drawn to Inanna after witnessing flagrant injustice or fearing the dark road our country is set on. This civil war may be at an end, but the carnage it's wrought will be with us always, and it's led to the rise of the great machine.
He has that right.
I suppose so.
I want to dispel any illusions you might have about the church. Inanna won't heal the sick, part the waves, or make your dead father a Lazarus. You want miracles? The Holy Father has them down the street. Oh, but if you've passion in your belly, the Blessed Maiden will stoke it, squeeze the bellows, and keep your pocket full of change. You won't be rich through her, but you'll be rich in spirit and satisfied with life in a way few men are. Billy here survived Appomattox.
By the grace of Inanna, she kept my eyes wide and my feet nimble. The South only took my arm instead of my heart.
The goddess has foreseen the rise of the great machine and us as its cogs. What is it? Ironwork, line work, work for a man up top who wants to see your eyes dulled and busy, a yoke around your neck and a gallows beneath your feet, and an executioner who says the only alternative is the poorhouse or the wasteland. To hell with the great machine!
To hell!
The only things we take from the factories are soot, consumption, and a pittance. And the other so-called faiths are its snares. Fair to the papists and their empty promises. And fair to the mammons and their wizard ways. You have to bet half their circle to join them anyhow. Men and women both! Here, all are welcome. When you show the spark of inner power, Inanna joyfully brings you to the inner fold. Do you see this candle beside me? Cold and unlit. Touch that, will you? You see? And now, watch! The flame appears without a touch, and yet the wick is still as cold as ice now. Feel that, sir. A second ago, you saw it unlit.
I did.
But fire you see now. Fire that is not fire. Illusions. That is also what Inanna offers.
But why does she give so much and ask for so little?
To nurture the passions of the world, sir. Your dedication is sacrifice enough. She wants us to experience our own raptures, our own torments, which she experiences through us. She knows the world is changing to dull the core of men. Can you imagine being goddess of such a desolate place?
Excuse me. Your soldier friend, Billy, I have a question for him. Isn't the army also a great machine?
But it serves the country, sir. Inanna herself is a goddess of war. Art and war. She sees no differences. It is the struggle that matters to her.
And the government serves the people, not the barons. Entirely different.
That should be our guest now. Unbar the doors, please. Friends, I give to you our illustrious founder, back from her latest excursion to the east. We are only too glad to have her. Everyone, run! Run for your lives!
We're here for the mask.
Go, everyone!
Wild maidens, foreigners, and ghouls, the lot of you!
Oh! You son of a bitch! You knew the whole time! You tried to keep me from coming!
Fella, as thick as you deserve to die. For Mammon!
Fire! Someone get water!
Myrtle, Billy, hold them back! I have the mask. Give me time!
time? We have 5 times your numbers. Most of them are gang members who believe they're attacking their rivals. Give me the mask, or I make them believe you're their most hated foe. You won't have it. Tear it from him. We have it. Run before the temple falls.
Adams, can you stand? I've got to get you out. Oh, come on! Your eyes are open, you're breathing, answer me! Say something! We're running out of air! Adams, I don't think I can drag you out of here! Damn it!
It's fine.
Oh, thank God! I thought you were in shock! We have to get out!
Look at the fire around here. There is no way out. The entrance and the vestry are blocked. I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
How can you be so calm?
I made certain they stole the illusion of the mask, not the true mask. While you thought me still, I walked out from my body. I went deep underground and saw the true mask. It is safe. They do not suspect anything.
I can't breathe.
Nor can I. But I did well. I die happy. Goodbye, Mr. Allen. Goodbye.
Can you see me? Mr. Allen, look at me.
Was I under?
Yeah, and you were screaming about being on fire.
I was. Oh, it was one of those visions.
What happened?
I was in 1870 at one of your churches. This man Adams brought me there. Then the Mammons raided it. They burned it down. Oh, I better get that.
I'll get you a towel.
Hello?
Glenn, did Scotty get a hold of you?
She told me about your troubles with the speed bump.
I've never seen it this stubborn. We're trying to draw it into a tractor-trailer, but it won't budge.
Have you tried shooting it?
We could drop a nuke on it, but I doubt that would scratch it. We're out of ideas. The bump responded to you before. Can you come here and give us a hand?
I'd rather not.
I didn't want to ask you either, but we need a fresh mind on this. And if we don't clear the tunnel by tonight, the other islanders are going to cause trouble. The town's selectmen especially, and they like having a tunnel that keeps the tourists out. If the media or more police come here, I don't think we can handle them. We may have to abandon the island in a few days.
For crying out loud. All right. I'll have Scotty drive me over.
Thank you, Len.
He's not having any luck.
Hardly.
Towel?
Thank you. We're going to the tunnel. Mr. Lewis wants me to help out.
Wow. Is this because the bump attacked you?
Probably. Perhaps it's looking for me.
Then I should give you an extra shot before we go.
What are you talking about?
Cinnamon B. It's part spirit, so it probably makes you look different than us to the speed bump.
Why can't Mr. Lewis use someone himself to lure the bump out?
Because it's addictive. And the only other people who use it are Wall Street traders who need something better than coke.
I see your point. You have some of it here?
Yeah. No peeking.
Hold on a minute. Do you know how to do injections?
Yes. I've injected you before.
When? Did you put it in me before?
All set.
What do you mean?
I just gave it to you.
Well, I didn't feel anything.
You didn't see it either. Don't worry. I can't do that to anyone but you.
Do what?
We should move while it's still fresh.
You're an odd one.
Thanks.
I doubt I can help you, though.
It's okay. I'm working on a backup plan.
Why don't we go with that first?
It's not ready yet. I should talk to Mr. Lewis about it.
You can tell me.
Later. Maybe.
Well then. Lead onward. I thought you said the speed bump was causing trouble.
It is.
I don't see anyone in there.
Ms. McAllister, put a veil up. It's very World of Darkness.
Oh my goodness!
It keeps the locals from seeing in.
Good, you made it.
Behold our hubris. Smashing cars and tearing up the road.
It's been acting up like this all day.
And all last night.
It's a deaf, blind, rabid dog in there.
With Alzheimer's.
Hush.
Sorry. I gave Mr. Allen an extra shot before we left.
Good thinking. Len, take this bag.
What's in it?
Food for the speed bump. There.
Valentine's Day cards?
Kids' Valentines. I collect them from around the school's recycle bins in February and save them all year round.
It eats these?
Like candy. Better than its old favorite.
Dare I ask how you found out that it likes these?
Of course. It was back when I was in grade school. We had to give cards to everyone on Valentine's Day. Even to kids no one liked.
Like you.
Yes. And after school, I used to go and play with Speed Bump before I went home.
Uh-huh.
We all wondered where he'd gotten to.
It was my only friend. Anyhow, I brought my pity Valentines with me, and I was just tossing them into the water. And I noticed that the Speed Bump started to fetch them and eat them.
It eats the card's emotional resonance. It likes anything that reeks of trauma.
It prefers pity and abandonment, but yes, it does eat. Only spiritual food, though, since it's a spiritual creature with a very primitive body. Len, could you scatter the cards in there?
You're kidding me.
Just to see how it reacts. I have a van ready to pull you out if there's any trouble.
What sort of reaction are you looking for?
If it barrels at you at full speed, you can lead it into the tractor trailer.
We have it all planned out. You'll be safe.
I have your word.
The van will back down, and they'll grab you and bolt. They already did it for me.
It's true. We have very professional people.
Fine. Don't let me down.
Any changes?
Nope. Wait, it's coming towards him.
Say when they should retrieve Allen.
Hang on. It stopped.
For crying out loud.
Give it some time. It's moving again.
Tell me when.
Wait. Never mind.
We have your back, Len.
I grew up watching horror movies. That thing isn't getting anywhere near me. Did it do what you wanted?
No.
Damn it.
It's eating some of the cards. No, they're only sticking to it.
Well, didn't you have a backup plan, Scotty?
Yeah, kinda. I'm still working on the details.
What is it?
It's... Can I tell you in private?
Fine. Come with me. We'll discuss it with your dad.
David finally understands what I've been telling him. We can't command the spiritual any more than a wild lion, even if it is raised with us.
Do you have any ideas on how to get rid of it?
I can jingle its car keys to let it know it's overstayed its welcome. I don't think it's going to listen, though.
No, probably not.
Worst case, we seal it in. And then try to explain to the state where our tunnel went.
Change or die.
Yep. I can tell there's been a bad presence here. It's not controlling the bump, but it did something. Now the bump's like this.
Is there any way to track it, or...
No, it popped in and out. So how are you making out?
All right. My legs are sore. I walked across the island yesterday.
The radio show is going very well. I'm really looking forward to the next. Everyone's listening, even some of the non-believers.
Oh, thank you.
So, do you have any questions for me?
Questions?
About the radio show and the speed bump?
I suppose.
Did you get the diary I left for you?
You left me a pile of history books.
No, the diary. I left it on your doorstep a couple nights ago.
I can't say that I've seen it.
Oh, for the love of Jasmine! Are you sure?
Yes. No diary. No other books either. The book tells half the story. Of course. Scotty! Hey! Hey, Scotty!
What?
Miss McAllister said she left a diary for me on my doorstep.
Yeah?
I know that look. Where is it?
I put it in your tool shed.
Scotty!
It's under some rags in the corner. I was going to give it to you when I was done.
This wouldn't be why the speed bump's gone feral, is it?
No. Maybe. I don't know. I have to run. Dad and I are leaving for the ferry now.
What are you up to?
It's not that dangerous. Dad's taking care of the details. I have to go. Bye.
Not that dangerous. Of course not. Jesse, I need someone to drop me off at home. Goodbye, Jesse. I'll give that girl an earful when she gets back. It was right where she said it was. A few paw prints. At least she wrapped it up in cloth. And she stuck colorful tags on all the relevant pages. This journal belongs to Private Matthew Lerner, 1945. My Matt Lerner, who worked on my show. I suppose they would still have his things. He must have written this after the war. Let's see here. Since the war ended, though, I wish I could be a gosh darn Rip Van Winkle. I'd better sit down for this.
They say your mind will filter out the bad times if you wait long enough. Since the war ended, though, I wish I could be a gosh darn Rip Van Winkle. I'd wake up with a mile-long beard and have all of it gone. The nurse says, think of the good times. I think about the day we were defending St. Viln when I was beyond it all. When I transcended the war. I have to write it down. The train for Pennsylvania's a few days away, and I'm not ready to leave New York yet. It was December 16th, 1944, when I first saw it. We had arrived at our camp in the Ardennes Mountains a few days before. The place was bitter cold. Snow was all down the mountainside, and the wind kept finding ways in my jacket. The fog was as thick as butter some days. We dug our foxholes and laid wire on the camp in case the krauts came. Of course, they did come. Sooner than we thought, all in white, this white mass. I saw their muzzles flash before I saw them. Our captain was crying out,
"Fall back! Evacuate! Follow the road!"
They shot everyone. Our cover was no good. I managed to get into the woods. I'd hoped to meet up with any of our guys left. I crawled under a log so I could check for the right feet going by. I must have been too obvious.
Oh, yes.
I guess he wanted to check too. I pulled myself out. He cocked his rifle at me. Then bam! He went over. There wasn't a gunshot. Something hit him as hard as a cannon and vanished. He started writhing. His boots kicked me. His torso was dragged into the bushes. I thought someone had an arm over him. I slid out to help whoever it was, but the bushes were black and muddy inside. It was like the ground was wrestling him. I took off to find a better place to hide. I must have lost my bearings because I ran into more of them. Two, three, I don't know. I dropped against a tree. That's what you do. You run, and you don't die, and you slide behind cover. You press your back against it while the bullets spit, and... Nothing. They were still on their feet. I thought it might be the French or the Belgian resistance who had slung those black hoods over their soldiers. I ran out, arms up. Private Matt Lerner! Then my foot touched more of that black ooze on the ground. It was cold, viscous, like snakeskin. The soldiers were struggling inside it, but they stopped. Soon, the ooze uncoiled from them. They dripped down like sacks of beef. I didn't know if I'd be next. I managed to hide all night until daybreak. I picked up food and maps from those who weren't using them, and I went hunting for landmarks. It was at this field where I heard water. I tried not to look at what was in the field. I ducked for cover when I heard the ring. Knife on metal. I took out my binoculars, and I saw the great ooze in the snow. Old blubber. It was spread 10, 20 feet long. Absolutely enormous. It was inspecting a couple of our boys by the riverbank. It would lift their arms and legs and drop them like doll parts. But it tried to put them down the way it had found them. One of the soldiers' jackets was ripped open. It began to beat on his chest. It must have broken the guy's ribs. The other guy had a long, dark bruise down his arm. He'd probably taken a bullet there. Old Blubber hoisted him up by his arm. Its skin shook, and it formed more of these blobby tendrils. It wrenched his arm off. I went sick, but it didn't seem to care. I worked my way around to the west side of the field, by the stream, where I could have a better look at it. It was piling up more of our boys. The guy with the open jacket had got it in the chest, and the second guy definitely had taken one in the arm. Old Blubber was inspecting the wounds on these guys. I'd seen medics work, and it was acting like one of them. On these poor, gone souls. I wondered if the church had sent it. They had said they were working on something before I left for boot camp. I knelt down and drew an outline of the mask in the snow. Old Blubber came rolling over. It touched the shape. It understood me. I nodded. Then it poured itself into the stream. I knew it'd be watching me. The stream wasn't on the map, but I kept following it. The water was always dark. I was scared to drink from it. I was dead cold in the forest that night. Chilled to the bone from the sweat and the fog. I brushed off a nook in the hillside and tried to rest. I wanted to sleep, but when you're freezing, you might not wake up. No one shot at me. I didn't want to relax, though. I jumped when it touched my shoulder. Its heavy snakeskin flowed around me like it'd seen it do with the others. It was faster than I could stand. I struggled, but it had two tendrils coil around me. They spun up me until their ends touched, and I was in one big cocoon. It had walled me in on all sides. Inside, Old Blubber. I thought I was a goner. But I had air. It had left a hole over me. It was cradling me. My body heat warmed the pouch, and I fell asleep. It was a good sleep. Old Blubber was gone when I woke up. But I knew it had to be near somewhere. I met up with my company at the town of St. Villain. They were as surprised to see me as I was to see them.
What happened to you, Private?
We were retreating against the German advance in the mountains. They had swarmed us. We couldn't get everyone out in time.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
I'll show you where the mess hall is.
I was reassigned to a new squad. That week, I never knew where I'd be sleeping, smoking, or using the latrine next. All I had were these new guys. They pulled their pranks on me, and I took each one. I was green next to them, but we were okay. I shot better than they did. I never slept on my watch. A few of them thought I was showing them up. I wanted to tell them about old Blubber. They could tell I was hiding something. We were sent out as reinforcements to protect St. Villain at the line. The fellows we replaced were almost ghosts. We hid behind barricades and fences that I'd walked by before without a second thought. We sat in the slush and mud. The clay tiles kept sliding off the roofs and shattering. There was noise in front of me, behind me, everywhere. I didn't know if old Blubber was really out there. I waited for the gunshots over me to stop so I could fire back, but I messed up. I had an open shot on a soldier trying to hit someone near me. I took the chance and missed. I tried again. It probably ricocheted off their wall. And the son of a bitch aimed at me. He would have gotten me too if that tendril hadn't given him a good squeeze then. There he was, and there he wasn't. I fell down, and I wouldn't put my head up there for a while. My squad made notice, though.
Shoot, Matt! We can't do all your work for you.
It was the cannon fire that had me fighting again. They were shooting the moaning minis at us before the tanks came. We spotted the treads tearing through the trees. The first shell broke the fence I was using for cover. The wind blew a cloud of dirt on me. I was breathing it in.
The line's broken. Fall back. Fall back.
When I bolted up, the cloud had passed. The tracer bullets pelted around me. I was a duck in the gallery. Ping. So I crouched again.
Come out. Come out, Matt.
I should have been shot when I was up, but I hadn't been. I knew why. I wanted my squad to have a look at old Blubber and see what a fine job it was doing for me. So I stood up and turned my head, ready to run in case old Blubber let one get by. I knew where the bastards were. One of them aimed at me, and whack! A tendril pulled him down. A soldier next to him only saw me, though. He didn't even know his partner was having the life choked out of them. About to fire, and he got yanked down too.
Get over here, Matt!
I can't tell another soul what it's like to be in the center of a firefight, and not a single bullet touches you. The rules of war were gone. I knew my squad was screaming at me, but this wasn't about them. It was a gloriously selfish moment. I wasn't one of the Walking Dead anymore. I was a damned god! I stepped over the fence into the heart of the skirmish. I wasn't afraid of the bodies. Bullets ricocheted around me, just mosquitoes. I aimed and shot one of those sons of bitches. Then I shot another one. I walked the razor's edge of death, and I would not miss. All over their side, a sea of black tendrils engulfed them, one by one. All these soldiers were thinking what a crazed fool I was. I must be easy pickings. They were terrified of me. Then the tendrils dragged them kicking into oblivion. I was hoping to clear the entire invading force. Hell, I didn't even have to shoot. I'd look at one and he'd be yanked over. I was a god of destruction. Death reigned in my presence. I was going to take a tank down next.
What are you doing, Matt?
It must have been too much for old Blubber. The next thing I knew, its tendrils were out of the ground, wrapping me up real tight. I coughed a few times, and I was out.
Are you still with us? Matt?
I woke up on a pile of hay in a stable. My guys had dragged me there from wherever old Blubber had dumped me. The medic checked me out, and they sent me to my captain. He chewed me down to nothing.
What the hell did you think you were doing out there, Private?
I don't know, sir.
I can't even get a straight answer out of your squad. One man says you are summoning devils out there. Another man says you were shooting crowds faster than they could shoot you.
I don't remember it too well, sir.
When you were given the order to retreat,
did you obey that order?
No, sir.
Why?
I don't know, sir.
Why?
I don't know. Your squad agrees on three things. You walked into enemy fire. You didn't get a scratch. And the enemy started dying. Squads of them. Do I have to explain this to my superior officers?
No, sir.
Will you ever mention this to another living soul, Private?
No, sir.
I'm having you reassigned to the reserves. I'll keep your testimony in case we ever have to court-martial you.
Yes, sir.
Dismissed.
I went to work in a supply depot at a farmhouse in eastern Belgium. I suppose I was ahead of the curve. After a few days, they gave the order to evacuate St. Vilne. My depot was on the new line of defense. The new guys arrived with stories about me. They never trusted me. They called me devil. There's a story I heard once of a man training with one of those yogis in India. One day, he's been meditating, and suddenly he runs to the yogi. He blurts out, "Master, I've had the greatest visions. I was flying over stars and into caverns. Everything was exploding in light." And the yogi just smiles and says, "Don't worry, they will pass." I'd had a glimpse of that weird wonder too, in the firefight. And it had passed. I guess I had to pay for what I'd done too. They engaged us at the depot after dark. They were running and screaming crazy. We couldn't see far. My captain called me over to deal with that.
Private Lerner!
Sir!
Take those cans of gas and get that farmhouse on fire!
Yes, sir!
You and you, go with Private Lerner! Move!
The can was full, but the house had more thatch than we had gas. We went up to the attic and soaked as much of the roof as we could. I sent the two guys out when we were done. I lit the thatch, but I don't know. The fire didn't take. Maybe a giraffe snuffed it out. I carried out my orders, though. I took a burning plank up and lit the roof myself. The fumes must have messed with my head. I'm not sure what happened, but I tripped down the ladder while escaping. I must have brought some of that fire down with me. I rolled around to put it out, but the fire took off wild everywhere. Smoke was pouring all around, choking me. I called out for help, and sure enough, a tank shell blew in the front door. I mean, I just put a big shoot me sign on the house. My side of the wall broke my leg. Me! I'd been a god of destruction, and I was stuck in this burning kitchen. Cabinets, tables, the ceiling, all of it was on fire. I was close to passing out from the smoke. I can't say when all blubber poured itself into the room. I held onto its skin while the ceiling began to fall. Old blubber could zip around quick as lightning, but right then, it didn't budge. I could feel its insides were tensed up, stone still. It wasn't about to save me. I thought this was my punishment. I was supposed to die here. It had come as a witness. So I prayed to Inanna, "Let it be quick." It took a while, but old blubber finally woke up and bit through the floor. The wood snapped and it dragged me into the cellar. It began whacking at the walls. I swear, it knocked the cellar door open by accident. It was looking for something, but I don't know what. Then it disappeared. Maybe it went into the concrete. Who knows? The guys had waited for me, though. They ran down. They pulled me out. I recovered in a hospital near Paris. My leg wasn't in too bad of a shape. The Red Cross and Salvation Army girls were pretty, though.
Would you like an orange or a lime, sir?
Oh, I sure would.
A dime for each, please.
I managed to trade with my buddies for some change. I picked up some meat and cheese from the town, too, when I could get it. I never ate any of it. One night I told the staff I was going out for a smoke and took my crutches out to one of those little gardens they had. I I gave thanks to Inanna for saving me and spread out my offerings. Then Ald Lover touched my leg. It was silent as an owl, pulsing there. I gave it all the food I had. Meat, cheese, oranges, and limes. They were precious commodities out there. It pulled the cheese inside itself a few times before it threw the block at me. I think it had figured out that it couldn't really eat. It played with the oranges until they were smears on the ground. Then I tossed it the lime. It cradled the fruit like something I'd never seen. It pulled the lime inside, and I think it just held it there, like it was something precious. I hope I made Ald Lover happy. Later, when I rode the ship back to America, I swear that I saw Ald Lover in the water following me. I told it to go away. I thought it was going to hurt someone. How do you tell something like that the war is over? Addendum. Everyone from the church made it home. Unbelievable. And Nana had sent Ald Lover to help all of us. They had all gone, though. We gave thanks last night, and my Ald Lover showed up. I know it was mine. It remembered me. I wouldn't be alive if not for it. Bless Inanna. Our high priest explained everything they'd done. Among the new laws and rituals that Inanna gave us 75 years ago, there was one specifically made to ask her for favors like this. The Prayer of 100 Stories. It's pretty difficult to do and put a couple of us in the madhouse. It's like Scheherazade, or the Japanese 100 Ghost Stories. Certain tales, layered on each other, can bring powerful magic. Scheherazade's stories changed her husband's heart. The church's stories pleased Inanna, and she sent her blubbers to protect us in the war. The church must have told one heck of a good bunch of stories. We still have them around. After I finish writing this, I think I'll go read some of them.
Matt said he didn't write the scripts. He brought them in on time every week. That poor man. Oh, do I have any questions? Oh, Jesse. You mean why did you get me tangled in your damned hoodoo ritual my whole life? They never wanted my show. Oh, the finances, the sound cues, Winsley Wheat. Oh, Len, keep the show going. You have to keep it going. No, I don't. Not if you're trying to make more speed bumps. Even if it is for David's daughter or Scotty's brother, I'm not doing it. I'm not... Don't tell me. Scotty, you're too sharp for your own good. Ald Lover could zip around quick as lightning, but right then it didn't budge. I could feel its insides were tensed up, stone still. It wasn't about to save me. She even marked the page. David!
We're busy, Len.
Is Scotty trying to build a fire around the speed bump?
Yes. Did she tell you?
No. Is she back yet?
She's gone with her father to the other end of the tunnel.
I've read Matt's diary, and I know what she's thinking, but it's not going to work. The speed bump wasn't calmed by the fire before it rescued Matt. It was remembering. It remembered its own death.
Where did you get this from?
I had a vision this morning. I was back in time with a doctor named Adams. He must have been an early convert to your church in New York, 1870.
I remember hearing about him.
Look, he must have become
Len,
the speed...
we're about to start. I need to know quick. Why shouldn't we try the fire?
You're going to make it angrier. It's already remembered why it's died. The trick won't work twice. It's looking for something else. It's looking...
Look, if we get it angry enough, it might leave the tunnel. We're starting. I'll have to call you back.
No, don't do that! Damn it!
It's coming toward the wood pile.
I'm ready, hon.
It's touching the wood. Now!
Done. 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
It's covered. I can't see it anymore.
Give it a minute. Get the extinguishers ready. Masks on. Get against the wall. Don't be in the way if it charges.
It broke out. It's coming.
Get to the truck. Everybody, lead it inside. Scatter. It's almost out. They've got it. We've got it. Hello?
You were right. It's madder than ever. It's got Don, Scotty's father. We're setting more fires, but we can't get to him.
Why him?
He lit the fire.
The speed bump's crazy. It thinks he's a mammon. The mammons lit the church fire that killed him.
Killed who?
Adams. The doctor from the 19th century. The speed bump is behaving as if it has his memories.
Your vision told you this.
I met Adams in my vision. And Matt wrote about the bump doing things that Adams used to.
In your vision, did you learn anything that might help us control it?
I told you, I know what it's looking for. Before Adams died, he was doing some kind of out-of-body experience to find the Mask of Inanna. You wouldn't happen to know where it is?
It's in your cellar.
That's what the Hickory Dickory Dot people were looking for?
Yes, but it's well guarded.
So how do I get it?
I'll come over and show you. Jesse, may I borrow your keys?
Welcome.
Don radioed us. He's beaten, but still with us.
And Scotty?
She knows she can't do anything. Let's go upstairs.
You don't want to pass through the uncertain wall in my kitchen?
Yes and no.
Ah, one of these.
Why are you sure that this Adams doctor became the speed bump?
In Matt's diary, he writes about the speed bump amputating limbs, like they did in the Civil War. And Adams was in a fire and froze up, just like the speed bump did in Matt's farmhouse. And Adams loved limes like the speed bump. Hard as liquor, he said.
Why would the speed bump be experiencing its past again? It's known where the mask is for decades.
I don't know. But Adams was desperate to check that the true mask hadn't been stolen. He knew he'd given the mammons a fake, and he still left his own body to burn alive, for crying out loud.
The mask is the holiest of our relics. But why now?
It must have been looking for the mask in that farmhouse. Listen to this. Old Blubber finally woke up and bit through the floor. The wood snapped and it dragged me into the cellar. It began whacking at the walls. I swear it knocked the cellar door open by accident. It was looking for something. It had to have been hunting for the mask. That's what Adams was doing before he died. The bump must remember that the mask is underground. That's probably why it won't leave the tunnel now.
So you know why we want you to finish after dark?
Yes. Can we talk about that later?
Of course. There are two doors. One is here in your bedroom. Stand facing the back wall.
Standing.
The second door is downstairs in the hall. We'll need to enter them at the same time.
All right, I'll wait for you.
No, the one downstairs is the spiritual door. We have to leave our bodies to open that one.
Like Adams was doing when he looked for the mask.
It's the traditional way of hiding it. A door for the body and a door for the soul, separate. You won't be able to do this without my help.
I'm all ears.
Breathe. Breathe deeply. Picture a single dot on a vast space of white. Let your arms fall. Let your head fall. Breathe. Slow. Now. Take one step back. Watch the floor. Don't look up.
I've been in this sort of trance before. The stairs will have extra floors.
Follow the sound of my voice.
I saw the sloth in this state, and the extra doors.
Like this one?
The lily room.
You always brought your body with you, so you never could enter this door.
They're so beautiful. The white speckled petals.
Take one step forward on three. One, two, three. Open your eyes, we're through.
Is there a light?
At the bottom.
It's so blue. Where did you get candles that burn blue?
Don't disturb them.
These photographs on the wall, are these your children?
Yes. Every member of the congregation in the armed forces has a picture here. This is my daughter, Nicolette.
She has your smile.
Yes. She's on her second tour. She's been very lucky. But luck doesn't last. I pulled you out of your nursing home to finish the prayer. We were so close before you left. It wouldn't take much of your time to end it.
Did it have to be me?
Yes. You're the teller. That's the focus of the ritual. We couldn't finish it without you. You have to be present to tell the stories.
Bob, when I was in Hollywood, Bob was having me finish your ritual for you.
I know. You didn't, though.
But you're trying to summon more speed bumps.
Yes.
They drove Matt off his rocker.
I've read the diary. Every soldier is going to come back broken, whatever we do. My daughter's already on the brink. If she can make it out alive, that's the best I can hope for.
But why me? I'm not one of you. Did your ritual have to be a radio show? The first one wasn't.
The church members were spread too thin after the war to perform a proper ritual. They were following opportunities in all the cities in the country. The radio was the only method to bring them together to pray.
Well, if they were trying to save their soldiers in the Korean War, they missed it. That ended while I was on the show.
Yes. The second prayer really didn't have its act together. The stories were from the first prayer. Updated, but still the same. But you have to understand, it was the Cold War, and they thought this was their new relationship with Inanna. War, protection. War, protection. There'd be another conflict after Korea, and they'd need speed bumps for that, too. And then the Mammons stole you, and they made a copy of the prayer from the blessed scripts that Bob took.
The Mammons were trying to make their own speed bumps?
Who knows what they were trying to do?
Well, you took your sweet time getting me out of that home.
Who knew the Iraq War would last so long? My daughter came home only to get pulled back in. Her and all of our service people. I decided, no. She can serve under our terms, not theirs. When you finish after dark, our kids will be able to live till the end of the war.
It's a brave plan.
I hope it works. I asked Inanna and she sent a thunderstorm, so I believe it will.
All these pictures. I didn't know you have so many in the service.
We don't. This wall is for those who watch over them. Those who have gone before.
Oh.
I think you'll recognize the man in this picture.
Matt! Well, this is him at his home. This must have been taken when I knew him. That's his yard, that's his wife, and that's his little boy.
His son. I was four at the time.
That's you?
Yes.
But your last name is Lewis.
Lerner Lewis. Lewis is my wife's name. He wasn't the man you remember to me. He never let you go. He broke. My mother and I left him. It's a long story. Still, he was in the service, and so he knows what Nicolette is going through. He would have been a good grandfather to her.
You should have said...
What? I'd have never heard the end of it from you. What did Matt do then? And then... Maybe I don't want to think about that time anymore. Maybe I want to keep that talk to myself. I hope you respect me enough to let it be. He's not important. This is.
I'm sorry.
Now we should get the mask. It's on the altar.
You've set up a speaker in front of it.
All of your shows have been broadcast to Inanna through the mask.
It's more of a head than a mask, isn't it? Huge eyes. Her stonework is so precise. How old is this?
Over 5,000 years. There are several, actually. They're divided among other congregations around the world. One is in the National Museum of Iraq. They call it the Mona Lisa of Mesopotamia.
Is that one magic, too?
Wouldn't be in a museum if it was. Our mask should be safe in this box. Let's go. It's easier to leave than to come in. We have the mask. Where's the bump?
About at the halfway point. We think it's stashed on in a service duct.
Radio everyone to clear out of the way. I'm driving in.
Understood.
Oh, and whatever trouble it's caused, I want to thank you for leaving me Matt's diary.
Let's wait until you bring the mask here before we start celebrating.
I mean it. Matt never told me what happened in the war. I never knew. It explains his habits.
I'm sure he wanted to tell you everything.
His son did the job for him.
At last, David finds sanity.
Len's taking it very well.
It could be worse. You could be Isabel's daughter, right? Right? Oh, God.
I'd be happy to gab with you about her sometime. But we have a man trapped by a rampaging monster at the moment. And the smoke's building up in his tunnel.
Ah.
He could pass out soon.
I'll step on it.
I'll clear a path for you. Good luck.
Let me talk to the bump.
Take the box. Don't drop the mask. If we break it, we're screwed.
I won't let it go. I want this to work, too. Open the sunroof.
All right. Be careful.
Here! It is safe! I have it! You don't need to look for it anymore! Yes! See? You know it! You know this better than anything in the world! I have it! Right here in my hands, and I'm not letting go! Adams! It is you, isn't it? Whatever's left of you, in there. Oh, my God. You don't remember too much, do you? I don't know if you even knew me, but I had a vision about you. Maybe someone gave you a vision, too. Oh, you can touch me. It's all right. I understand. Do you want a lime? Oh, David said you don't like them anymore. What happened to you? What's it like inside that horrible shell? How much can you see? Or hear? Taste. You can't taste anymore, can you?
Let me go!
Scotty, wait! Go! Get Dawn! Go!
Oh, Adams. Did death change you so much? Or is this new world, this new body, too much for you? What a life you must have had. No one listens, do they? You can't tell anyone. You can't draw anymore. It's been over a century. But I was there. I watched you protect the mask. You did the right thing. Now I'm going to protect it, too. You and me, Adams. It's all right. I got your back. We'll take care of the mask. I'll watch over it with you. Together. You don't have to do this alone anymore. You've got me now. A Valentine? For me? Do you mean it? Are you sure you don't want to eat it?
Dad, you're okay!
Let me see here. I'll be your Valentine, if you will. An oldie, but a goodie. Of course I will, Adams. Thank you. You don't know what this means to me, this cute little card. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'll treasure this. Really, thank you. You're the best doctor a town could have.
The Mask of Inanna, Episode 5, The Mask of Inanna, was written and directed by Alicia E. Goranson for the Post-Meridian Radio Players. The modern-day cast featured Andrew LeBrun as Leonard Allen and Don Harper, Nellie Farrington as Scotty Harper, Catherine Bryant as Jesse McAllister, and Doug Miller as David Lewis, with Jenny Gutbazal as The Mouse, Julia Lunetta as Mr. Obler, Carrie Babish as Orson, Jacob Summer as The Speed Bump, and Heidi Clark as The Introducer. The 1870s and 1950s casts included Mike Babish as Matt Lerner, Michael Simon as Alexis Carney, Billy, the Captain, and the Allied Soldier, Lori Brackett as Mrs. Cavendish, Myrtle, and the Volunteer, and Jacob Summer as Michael Adams and the German Soldier. Studio recording and post-production for The Mask of Inanna was performed by Alicia E. Goranson, with production assistance from Paul Dworkin, Emma Lathan, and Lisa Sturgeon. The script editor was Vicky Bloom. Original music was composed and rendered by Neil Marsh, and the After Dark theme was composed by Sir Arthur Sullivan. All interstitial and background music is available in the public domain. The producer and series developer is Alicia E. Goranson. The creator of The Mask of Inanna and executive producer for the Post-Meridian Players is Neil Marsh. For more information, please visit our website at themaskofinanna.com. This has been a Hub of the Universe production.
Hi, folks. This is James Scheffler. I play Bob Stroud. Listen, sometimes art mimics life, and sometimes life mimics art. As it turns out, I have to end this stint that I've been doing on The Mask of Inanna and leave you loyal listeners. I'm being deployed to Afghanistan here in a few months. So I hope that you'll continue to listen. I hope that you'll continue to enjoy the things that our crew is doing here for you. And just keep me in your thoughts. Thanks.
Why, hello. Hello.
We have more news they do not want you to hear.
There is a mammon among the islanders. He takes the mask and throws it into the sea.
They're so worried you'll be mad again. They're not going to tell you this.
I don't think it believes us.
Why not? Why would we lie?
There are Germans coming for the mask.
Lots of them.
You cannot drag away all the islanders. You cannot protect all of them.
They die in very silly poses.
I do not think it ever listens to us again.
A pity. I cannot wait to see what she does when she gets mad. Perhaps she tells it to kill them all.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. Die, mouse, die! Yum.